join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Stand with me. We're going to read Luke chapter 6. It says in verse 6, according to the New American Standard Version, on another Sabbath, the Lord entered the synagogue and he was teaching. And there was a man there whose right hand was shriveled, or his right hand was withered. Now, I want you to just push the pause button and I want you to look at that man. Teachers, historians have said this about this man, that he was a plasterer by trade or by occupation. Now, one who plasters for a living is a tradesman who works with plaster, such as forming a layer of plaster on an interior wall or plaster decorative moldings on ceilings or walls. This process of creating plaster work has been used in building construction for centuries, and it's one of the most ancient of all handicrafts. Therefore, let's work this a little bit. Since the right hand is usually the most dominant and strongest for most people, this man, not having use of his right hand, was then rendered unable to fulfill his trade or to open up and take a hold of his future. In fact, in many cultures, the open right hand, if everybody would, just take your hand and open it up. This open hand in many cultures is a sign of protection that also represents blessing, power, and strength. And so as we enter this story, we understand that the Lord has, on the Sabbath, entered the synagogue. And he's there that he's teaching. And in that crowd, just as there is people in this crowd, there is a man who has a handicap. There is something in his life. That something is keeping him from being abundant in his present tense, and he lacks the ability to unlock the future blessing and strength of God. This man can very well symbolize many of us. He lacks the ability to provide protection, blessing, power, and strength. This is his story of his moment with the Lord. Verse 7 says that the scribes and the Pharisees were watching the Lord closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath so that they might find reason to accuse him. But the Lord knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and move forward," or "Get up and come forward." And he got up and he came forward. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, Pharisees and scribes, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it?" After looking around at them all, the Lord said to the man who had the shriveled hand, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand, his future, his ability to provide protection, blessing, power, and strength was restored. Heavenly Father, this morning, we open both our hand and our heart, that God, you might indeed give back to us those things that life and the enemy has stolen from us. That this morning, God, you would open up our hand and our heart in such a way that we would leave here empowered to protect, to not just receive blessing, but to be a blessing. And that, God, we would leave here strong in your might and in your power. We pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen. As you're being seated, I want to begin teaching a new series that I will entitle, at least this week, The Miracle in Moving Forward. That title is subject to change, but today that title, or at this point in my sermon, the title is The Miracle in Moving Forward. As we look at this story, and we should see the miracle. Because in the miracle, we find that there is a power that only comes as we move forward. The Lord told this man that it's time to move forward, to do the thing in this season that you lack the ability to be and to do in the past season. You know, so often we as preachers remind you that there's a part of all of these things of God that you're responsible for. It's the part that you can do. And yet I think there's another part that sometimes God holds us responsible for, and that's the part we can't do. We're going to see both in this story. We're going to see both in this miracle. That there comes this power with moving forward. And as we move forward, there's some things required of us. There are those things we can do that's required of us. And then there are also some things we can't do that will be required of us. And when we are willing to move forward, God takes that which is required, and through that which we give him in obedience, he begins to restore. I say all that to say this, that whenever the Lord speaks and says to you, move forward, that when he speaks that and where he speaks that, his presence and his power is there to fulfill the purpose in his command. So whatever you've heard this year, whatever you're hearing in your spirit this day, it's important for you to recognize that because God spoke that, there is now his presence, there is now his power for you to fulfill the purpose in that. I like how the American Standard Version treats Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. It says, "For no word from God shall be void of power." For no word from God shall be void of power. I want you to ask yourself right now, self, what does the Lord ask of me? What has he spoken to me and said to me in a very personal way and said, stand up? This is a wake-up call for you. Stand up, because this is a season of moving forward. Maybe he stirred that in a prophetic word that was given to you. Maybe he stirred hope in your life and you were to leave those things in the past and begin to hunger and move toward those things in the future. As you think about whatever God has spoken to you, recognize that when he spoke it, he released the power to perform it. You will see his power and his ability to perform as you begin to adapt new disciplines and begin to move forward. As you move forward, there's two or three things that I want to teach you in this series that you're going to want to be aware of. The first of which is that there will always be an enemy that opposes what God has for you. Now, I run into people all the time. How many of you run into people all the time? And not just any kind of person, but the kind of person that is deathly afraid of the enemy. Always afraid of stirring up the enemy. That even when there's a tremendous move of God, they kind of come and dampen it with their words. Oh, brother, while this is a time of rejoicing, you better get ready for the backlash. Well, what if I told you there would be no backlash because the enemy that the Lord removes today will never be seen before if after having done all to stand, you will remain standing as you move forward? Sometimes you and I make the mistake of being too aware of what the enemy's doing and not enough aware of what the Lord is doing. Too often with our words, we fill our words and then our world with all these kinds of fears. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says that God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a soundness of mind. A soundness of mind is very powerful. Don't believe me? Lose yours. Make a few choices and live in the consequences thereof. It will give you a hunger to want your soundness of mind back. This package scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 comes after a spiritual father lays his hands on a spiritual son and reminds that son that that son doesn't have just any heritage, but that son has a godly heritage through his grandmother and through his mother. He personalizes and says, you have a grandmother and a mother by the name of Lois and Eunice who have a great faith. And so I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to stir up that faith in you. This walking bound to your fear is not a gift from God. So I'm going to stir up the gift that is from God, and that is power, and that is love, and that is a soundness of mind, even when the enemy rushes in like a flood and opposes everything that God has for you. You can rise up with power, and you can walk in love, and you can have strategies and a soundness of mind that will make you an overcomer and not an overcome. I'd like to see all of our English teachers begin to applaud that incredibly creative use of the English language. For too long, the body of Christ and believers as individuals have just sat back and we've put our faith in the enemy. And we've just waited for the next bad thing to happen to us. And we've used our faith to believe it into existence. We believed we lacked. We believed we fell short of the glory. We believed we were small. And we believed that right into existence. So we shouldn't be so, like, shocked when we're insecure, inferior, and timid. But to the life of the believer who gets it and begins to download it, to that believer, they can be tall when the enemy comes in small. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that even though the enemy comes in like a flood, it's still small compared to the standard of God's word that he left us in his life and in ours. There will always be an enemy that opposes what God has for you. And in this case, it was the religious scribes and Pharisees. It's important for you to keep in mind that with every step of faith you take, the enemy is going to contend for the new ground that you have a vision for. He's going to fight that. He's going to oppose that. And you are left the choice of whether or not you're going to let the enemy confirm or keep you from what God is saying and doing in your life. I think it's important for each and every one of us to take just a moment and get in our time machine. And I want you to think about, what has God said to me? What is his word to me? What are his promises that scripture says is yes and amen? So I want you to think, what is the thing that God said was possible in my life? I'm not living with it yet, but I'm longing for it. What is that thing? From the moment he made you aware of that thing, from the moment he promised you that, spoke that to your life, his power was released to perform it and to fulfill it through you. So I want you to just believe that word right now. I want you to take just a moment and begin to prophesy that over your life. I want you to begin to declare that you have power. You have love. You have a soundness of mind, and you have this. Psalms 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, why don't you just echo what the Lord has said and have your say so? Why don't you just begin to declare into your physical body that by his stripes you were healed and now you are healed? Why don't you just begin to bring God into your battle? See, he entered your situation. He stepped into your situation the moment he released the word. It was a Sabbath for you. He came to your synagogue, your heart, your life to do some teaching. He knew the enemy even before the enemy raised its head and began to oppose him. But when he arrived, he not only had a word for you, he had a word for your enemy. And nothing shall separate you from the love of God and his word when it speaks. When he speaks, heaven begins to shake and tremble and hell begins to run. So take your word and come into agreement with what God has spoken in your life and let the redeemed of the Lord have their say so now, and move beyond just praying about it and prophesying over it to just praising God as if it's already happened. What would happen in a church if those things that were supposed to happen began to happen? It changed everything. Now, verse 7, this verse gets you ready for your enemy and how your enemy operates. Verse 7, let's go there, because it says that these religious people, these religious scribes and these religious Pharisees, they watched the Lord closely. They watched him closely to see whether or not he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. See, the Lord wasn't abolishing the law of the Sabbath here. He was fulfilling the law of the Sabbath. And he was trying to help them understand that he was not doing away with the Old Testament, but that he was the symbol and the shadow and the type in the Old Testament of the New Testament Savior that was here and here, ready to do the miraculous now. Too often you and I live in the Old Testament of our lives, and we're always thinking about what God could do someday, not realizing that we serve a New Testament God as well, that he is here in the now, and he longs to make all things new, and he wants to do the new right now. We live as like it's going to be someday, and God is living like today is your day, because today I'm in your heart, I'm in your family, I'm in your finances, I'm in your future. It's not just your story lying in the balance, it's my glory lying in the balance. Souls lie in the balance of what you do now and what you do next. So it's time for you to begin to understand that there's a power in moving forward. One theologian said this about these scribes and these Pharisees. The theologian said, the greatest battles that many times come to the life of believers are not those battles from the enemy on the outside, but from the enemy who creeps into well-meaning spiritual believers who go to church on the inside. They come to church armed with a critical eye and with a sense of vengeance. They watch for the purpose of finding fault. If that's you, please raise your hand and we're going to have a deliverance session right now. This spirit, this religious spirit, often sees and often senses the movement of God before we do. It will try to steal the blessing of God before it gets out of his hand into ours. And it does so with a watchful eye and with a critical spirit. And this watchful eye and this critical spirit will seek to bully, intimidate, oppose, and find fault by casting questions that create fears. Ever had that spirit on your hands? It's sometimes hard to see and it's hard to sense because it comes from those well-meaning, mature in the Lord people that you wouldn't imagine it coming from. Sometimes that person is you. Sometimes you is your worst enemy. Sometimes that spirit sounds enough like your voice that you think it is your voice. And it puts you down and it pushes you around and it tries to keep you out of the position that today God said if you'll move into, he will fulfill his purpose in your life. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says that the thief comes or does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I wonder how many blessings in your life, how much protection in your life is forfeited because we listen to this spirit that has a watchful eye, that has a critical mouth, and it's within us. And it won't let go of what we haven't been. And it reminds us of how we so fall short of the glory of God. And so when God speaks something to us and we're told, hey, move obediently into that position by God, we don't move there because we listen to this voice of this spirit that just kind of criticizes and watches over us. And we almost live in a penitentiary of sorts. We have all of these walls around us and there's barbed wire on the top. I guess that would be barbed wire unless you come from New Mexico and it's barbed wire. But we station these guards up in the corner, and they're watchmen. If we ever try to break out of our past, break out of our spiritual funk, break out of our fears, and break out of our failures, suddenly an alarm in our spirit goes off. And it sounds a little bit like a cow mooing. But this alarm goes off within us. And this voice comes on and alerts that someone's trying to get out. Someone's trying to get free. Somebody truly believed that the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty was upon them, that they were sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. It's one thing to be bound by insecurity and fear when you're in the seventh grade, and it's another thing to be 77 years old, reliving like Groundhog Day, seventh grade, over and over and over and over again. Let me tell you, when the enemy cannot come and get your faith, he will attack your confidence. And so you will bind and imprison yourself with your own thoughts, or what you think are your own thoughts. So then you'll come to church, and because you don't feel good about you, and because you're so keenly aware of your insecurities and where you fall short and your failures and your fears, you look for everybody else's in the same way, knowing that the only way that you can make yourself better is to bring everybody else down just a little lower than you. And everybody said, ow, together. One, two, three. That's human nature. But aren't you glad that we have a nature in Christ that's greater? See, thankfully, the Lord knew exactly what the enemy was thinking here. And he had a word that would prevent them from stealing the man's healing. Notice in verse 8 it says, but he knew what they were thinking. And so he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And the man got up and came forward, and Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it? Now listen, God did not send his son Jesus to live on the earth, die on a cross for our sins, go to hell, take back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, come back then to earth to reveal his power and presence, ascend to heaven, sit down at the right hand of God's throne, then send the Holy Spirit with supernatural power to the earth just so that you and I could live beat up, defeated, half-hearted, weak-kneed Christian lives. That does not sound like a believer to me. Someone who is beat up, defeated, half-hearted, weak-kneed. Now, is that your dream? See, when my wife was dreaming of Mr. Right in her life, she wasn't dreaming of, oh, God, send me someone who walks in a poverty mentality and has a victim spirit. Oh, God, just give me a lazy man, I pray right now. A man that walks with a spirit of offense that always feels like everybody's beating up on him and picking on him. And, oh, God, if you could send me a defeated man that I can put under the authority of my shoe. Oh, God, send me a man that is half-hearted and weak-kneed that I could drag him to church on Sunday and then drag him home again. Drag him to work on Monday. Drag him into the prayer closet. Drag him into communion. Drag him back on Wednesday night. That was not my wife's dream. Was the drama enough for creative effect there? Did we get to high-def surround sound? Did we go a little overboard? Which is my swag. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. Please hit the laugh track to go with that. That's what's so hard about doing radio and TV is when you go and they interview you and you say something that they think might sound good to the audience, they just hit the button. I just want to hit the button and see if it works. Let's pretend like I said something funny. Something life-changing. A little weak on the life change button. I'm convinced that Jesus came to move us forward. He came so that we could move forward in his life-changing power, in his life-changing love, in his life-changing peace, in his life-changing joy, in his life-changing provision. We of all folks ought to be those who are the wealthiest during the recession. I want to be known as a life changer. I want to be the kind of person that people knew was a life changer. He was like a spiritual energizer type bunny. He was a spiritual B12 shot. You could ask him how everything was going in his life, and he would respond in a way that would be life changing. That he would be a catalyst, that when he would enter a room, things would change. Not into a Charlie Brown comic character, dragging their baggage and blanket everywhere they went. Are you breathing? What's happening in so many lives is that we are in our right hand, it's been withered. And by trade, God has called us to be triumphant, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, to walk with confidence in his love, his joy, and his peace, to be carriers of the gospel to the uttermost parts of our entire world. And yet, sadly, we've been everything but that. We've lacked the nourishment, and we've lacked the moisture and the ability in our spiritual marrow of our bones to open up our hands. And so, therefore, we are lacking in our ability to provide protection and strength and blessing. And so, we've got this right hand, which in Scripture many times symbolizes your present. And in Scripture, the left hand will also represent your past. And so as believers, here we are. We're armed and dangerous. We're carrying the baggage of our past in our left hand around with us. It's like our shadow. We'll go nowhere without it. Everything in life is filtered through it. And because we are really fighting this war one-handed, we are fighting unprotected. We're not secure. We're not confident. Because that which in our life was supposed to unlock our future has now been sentenced to a prison of the past. And every time God speaks something or asks something of you, you have to stop and ask, not God permission to do what God has asked, but you've got to ask your past. Do I have permission to be a good wife now? Since I've been so bad, do I have permission to move forward? And we look inside our packed bags, and they're not filled with power, love, strength, and a soundness of mind. They're filled with all of these things that represent our fears and our failures, that represent what we've not been. It's not full of God's grace and mercy that says, yes, that's what you used to be, but now because my word has been spoken into your life, I've released the power to you to be more. So here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you, who or what left your right hand, which represents your future, crippled? Who or what? Who or what? What happened? Who said? Who did that made you think in terms of defending yourself? So you took your fist. You took your open hand and made it a fist. And now it's shriveled. Now it's withered. And the thing that God had made as a tool and a weapon to unlock your future now will fight for the rights of your past. Who is it this morning that you need to forgive and let go of? What happened in your life that left you feeling like a failure? And maybe it's you haven't forgiven. You see, friend, you can't carry your past around like old baggage and somehow magically arrive at your future. There has to be a moment where you finally just say, God, I'm going to open both hands to you. This has rendered me ineffective. I'm unable to provide protection. I cannot be a blessing. I have not your blessing. I lack your strength. I lack your power. I lack your love. I'm in this battle alone, and I'm using my energy to fight for all the wrong things. I've got my left hand carrying my security and my identity around everywhere I go. It's filled with the baggage of my past. So bad is it? Not even you can forgive it. Not even you can fix it. Again, who or what? Who or what? Who in your past have you taken with you? What in your past have you taken with you? And so because of that, you live a life that's beat up, defeated, half-hearted, and weak-kneed. Who or what needs to be let go? Maybe that who, maybe that what is you. And it's you whose left hand is filled with the baggage and the pain of your past, and whose right hand is shriveled, unable to unlock your future. In this series, I'm so glad that through this, we're going to experience some freedoms together. Because that verse in John 10 doesn't just end with the thief coming to steal, kill, and to destroy. It ends with the Lord coming that we might have life, and that we might have life more abundantly. I love what one writer says about this more abundantly type of living. He talks about it in terms of filling a container full of a valuable liquid. A liquid that would quench thirst. A liquid that would be a resource to be shared with others. That so abundant of this liquid would this container be that it would be filled to overflowing, and that the abundance of the way that person would live their life would just naturally spill over on other people. The life-changing power of God, the life-changing peace of God, the life-changing joy of God, the life-changing provision of God. When Jesus came into this man's story, he came to change that man's life into a life of abundance. He didn't just come so the man could pray the sinner's prayer and go home in just as much as bondage as he came into the Sabbath that day with. No, he healed that place in him that was shriveled up. He healed that part of him in his heart that sustained that fear. And that man opened his hands. And in that moment, when God came in, God stopped the thief that had been stealing life from that man. And that man left with an abundant life. And one writer says that life was excessive in quality and excessive in abundance. And that's the life God longs to give us. So this morning, I think every one of us need to ask ourselves, what is the enemy? Who is the enemy that has kept us with one hand firmly holding the baggage of our past, and the other hand being used to fight off anyone who would get that close to us, not realizing that carrying in one hand the baggage of our past and fighting to protect it with the other hand is the very thing that keeps our spiritual lives withered and shriveled. What is that addiction? What is that affection? What is that shortcoming? What is that thing in your life that God said, this is the day for you? It's a wake-up call day. This is the day that I have entered the synagogue of your heart, and this is the day that I will speak to the things in your life that have opposed you. And that if you will arise, if you will wake up, and if you will stand up, you will start moving forward. And in moving forward, you will leave your prison behind and you will be free. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this is that part of the service that we give people an opportunity to pray. This isn't just for the sake of muttering or uttering words. This isn't just for the sake of looking spiritual. It's about desperately hungering for the one who is spiritual in our life. It's about saying, Lord, forgive me for the things I've held on to. It's these things that have been defeating and destroying me, Lord, forgive me. Because not only have they destroyed my past, but now they're beginning to destroy my present. And as I fight for my rights because I'm fragile and insecure, I use the right hand that's supposed to be used to take a hold of my future to somehow fight the enemy of my past, and it's left me defeated and devastated over and over again. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this is that moment that you really talk to the Lord and ask Him again that question, who or what? Who or what has been the enemy that opposes me? Is it me? Is it others? Am I angry today because of what somebody did and said in a previous day, and their words hurt me then? And I thought on it, and it grew in me, and now I'm angry and bitter, party of one. And that anger and that bitterness causes me to be my own worst enemy. That every time God moves, says something to me, I oppose it. I'm that voice. Or is it something more than just a pain that speaks and keeps your future from coming into your present? Is it your sin? The secret sin, the secret things you hold on to. Is that the who or what that continues to keep your future from you every time it comes calling? As you're standing to your feet now, the Lord has walked into this room, walked into the room of your heart. And throughout this building, there are people who need and want and desire to come to this altar. As you come, I want you to see this bag laid out. I want you to see that as a visual. It's time for you to unpack your bags and give God everything in them. And once and for all, not only leave the bag, but what's in the bag. So as the music begins to play, as people begin to pray, this is your moment to begin moving forward. I'm opening up these altars to each and to every one of you who knows the who or the what that needs some changing in your life. This is where we're going to just open up the altars, and as the music plays, you're going to be able to just begin to make your way to the front. Go ahead, just slip from where you're seated. This is a day of freedom today. This is a day of being free. This is a day of overcoming. This is a day of being made free. We're going to pray for each and every one of you who come. This is what this church has been believing God for all week long, and that is freedoms. So right now, just slip from where you're standing and come down here and stand. This is that moment you go public. This is that moment in the synagogue that you have audience with God, and God has audience with you. And God speaks a word that releases the power for you to begin moving forward. It's going to take some steps of faith. It's going to take some steps of courage. It's going to take some honest faith. Some honest courage. It's going to take some people saying, you know, I'm tired of dragging this thing around. I'm tired of trying to fix this thing myself. God, I come down for an experience with you of knowing your truth. This is the moment that God's truth can begin to shut down that thief in your heart, that thief in your life. Come and keep coming. There's more. I feel strongly that this is a day of freedom for many. See, if you've wandered into this church and wondered what kind of a church it is, well, then wander no more. This is about a church committed to pursuing Him until each and every one of us are free. Then each and every one of us are going to go back and free someone else. There's more. There's more. Come and keep coming. Come and keep coming. This is about a day of freedom. It is. It's a day of freedom. It's a day of experiencing life-changing power. Life-changing power. Forgiving others and forgiving ourselves. Asking God for forgiveness of our sins and forgiving others who've hurt us with theirs. Church family, just extend your hands and your hearts and begin to pray. We're a church that establishes environments that says no word from God is impossible. No word from God is void of its power. And we're a church that's committed to seeing His power change lives. Go ahead, church. What is praying like your miracle lies in the balance of it really sound like? Raise your hearts, raise your voices in the congregation and begin to pray. There's others still wrestling with this word from God today, knowing they need to come, knowing they need to take a step of faith, knowing that this is the day that the Heavenly Father Himself adopts you. The spirit of abandonment that creates one fear after another, that creates one fear after another today, that enemy has been silenced. For you are your Heavenly Father's Son. And this day He looks at you and He calls you His Son. And He says that you, Son, are well pleasing to Me. This shall be the day that all the old things that you have felt in some way responsible to carry into new days, these are the day. And these are the days that you leave that behind. I'd like for prayer team ministers to come now and stand behind each and every person that's kneeling or standing. We are going to begin to pray people through to freedom right now. I'm opening this up to many of our newer individuals of prayer to come and just be led by the Holy Spirit. This is that moment where God's word begins to command things. And where there is God's commandment, there is God's enablement. So begin to get a new word and a fresh word, because the Lord says that you have carried this and it has become your idol. Sir, your pain, your hurt, your rejection has been your idol. And you have served it and you have fallen prostrate before it over and over and over again. And you said, how much longer, God? When, God, when? What, God, what? You have in many ways been so close and yet so far. The Lord comes to you this day and calls you a godly man and says, godly man, let the Lord crucify the flesh so that all things shall pass away, and behold, all things shall become new. Tear down the idols of self-pity. Tear down the idols of sorrow. Tear down the idols of abandonment and rejection. Tear down the idols of embarrassment and shame. And truly you will see the image of the Lord in you emerge through you. For you are to be a mighty man of God, a mighty man to the pulling down of strongholds. And the Lord says that He has begun drawing new things in your heart, that He has longed for you to give Him the blueprint of the old things and the old ways. And the Lord is saying that you are to trust in Him with all your heart, that you are not to pack your bags from your past any longer, that the expectations from your past has set you up to fail and set you up to fear. But the Lord says that perfect love casts out all fear, and that, sir, you are a mighty young man of God in the making, and that God is remaking a new path in your heart. He is putting a new blueprint in your hand, and today He has healed the pain in the hand that is left carrying baggage. Today He says, pick up your future or in your right hand will you begin to offer for your family protection, for your family blessing, for your family strength, for your family security that you never had for yourself. You will do what you can, and you will do what you can. In Jesus' name. As our prayer team begins to move to the front of each individual, I just want to pray over this church family and give this to you as a means of moving into your day. I just want to remind you that this day is filled with the power of God. That power is there to fulfill every purpose in your life. That even as Paul laid his hands on his spiritual son and said that he was going to lay his hands on him and stir up the gift of God, I want to lay my hands, so to speak, corporately over you and declare today that this day will be a day that's filled with the power, the love, and the soundness of God's mind in your life. That you will walk from this place strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That you will have released those things in your left hand which represent your past. And in your right hand you will have taken a hold of your future. And you will walk not lacking any good thing from God, but you will walk with protection, blessing, power, and strength. So in the name that's above all names, I dismiss you in the name of the Lord. Would you just put your hands together right now, and would you just begin to let everything in you praise the Lord? You're praising God for what your day is about to look like, because your day has now been heavily empowered and infused with the protective strength of God, with the power and the love and the strength of heaven itself. So today I'm going to encourage you to get out there and with your lives, make this world a better place. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.